Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
G'day everyone, this is Kyle Emily and I am here with the Vegas Bad Boy, Bad Boy!
What's going on guys? This is Chelsea Durden. Maybe trying to bring about the end of the world, but don't end it yet before you listen to Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I am DJ Impact. I got here King Lucky.
Hey yo.
Hey man, how you been?
Good.
Good. Matt Michaels.
You know, I'm feeling a little spicy today.
Spicy?
Yeah, like kind of like a dish of Indian food.
You know? Okay, all right, I got you. Well, look, that might be because of our guest we have on the line from Impact Wrestling, the member of the Desi Hit Squad, Raheed Raju. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. You say Raheed Raju?
Yes.
Rohit. Trust me, nobody gets the name right ever.
And he always goofs up names,
man. It's like even on commentary sometimes, it's like they'll say something and say, like, "Oh, that's totally not it."
So it's Rohit Raju.
Yeah, I like to pronounce it as Rohit. I know. Okay. I believe the proper pronunciation is Rohit, but I like Rohit as in. So, and then yes, Raju.
Got you.
You know, AKA Hakim Zayn on a couple Indians. That's just want me to do something different. So, yeah, is that Impact Wrestling, the captain of the Disney Hit Squad,
Is it kind of is there a differentiation in character for you between the two personas? You know, between Impact and between the Indies, or are you looking at it?
Not really. I mean, when they first started, it's so weird because, you know, professional wrestling, they give you a gimmick and don't want to be like, you figure, okay, I'm representing India and it's professional wrestling, you know, I'm dressing in traditional garb. Am I going to be sitting here acting like some stereotype or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was trying to wrap my head around it when I first got to Impact, and you can almost see, like, the way I move in the ring. I'm just not really comfortable, and I'm unsure about things. And then I just started, and I remember it was Johnny Bravo and Dave Chris, they just said, you just got to go out there and just be you. Just be you, man. You go out there and have fun and just do you. So I just started doing that, and I just started being my personality as Rohit Raju. So, and then Hakim Zayn is just, instead of me wearing, you know, my traditional gear, it's just, I wear a black vest, a stylish black vest, and the reason I wear it is because I was always a huge fan of, I still am a huge fan of, like, the Rock and Steve Austin, and it's like a mix of, like, his Hollywood rock vest with Austin's traditional black vest, so I like to wear that. And then it's just me, the character I do, and if anyone ever caught my promos from AEW, it's a little bit more vicious and serious.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's me with a chip on my shoulder. It's me turned up to 20. Because obviously, you know, I feel like I'm a very talented individual and I don't always get seen as that or put in those positions. So doing the stuff in Chicago is me just kind of venting, and it's like a huge outlet for me, and I like to touch base on other things that people usually get offended by without really offending anybody.
Right.
So, and that's really the only difference. But me strutting through the ring, acting a fool, quick reactions, being quick-witted, that's just me. You know, there's no difference there. It's just whatever I'm wearing to the ring, whatever the ring jacket is, that's the only difference in the name.
How old were you when you first knew that you wanted to be a wrestler?
I was a kid. I remember, and I've had podcasts, I always tell it, my dad was flipping through channels, and it went on NWA, and this is at least my first memory. There could have been an actual different memory, but this is what I first remember identifying with professional wrestling. there was a clip of the Road Warriors versus the Russians in a Russian chain match. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is this? You know, and then I discovered Hulk Hogan. And back then, like, the wrestlers were just, they were real life superheroes or real life cartoons, you know, and they're, and they had these over the top personalities. And even in the NWA, where it wasn't as over the top as WWE was at the time, it was still like, hey, these are those rich neighbors down the street, and here's Dusty Rhodes, who is my neighbor, you know what I mean? Not like real life.
Right, right.
Identifying as your neighbor. And they're beating the crap out of each other. You're like, oh my God, so you're just enthralled with that. So I always knew I wanted to be a professional wrestler. I always used to, I had a yellow Superman t-shirt that my mom cut into. She cut the back of it so it looked like Hogan's, and I had this giant teddy bear that I would wrestle, and I would record it and do all the voices and promos and all that stuff. And I always wanted to do it. When I got out of high school, I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until later on in life that, when I was working a full-time job, that I found a place that I could go once or twice a week for like 6 months and get trained. And then that was, well, kind of later, as later than I wanted it to be. I was in my 20s, but I still did it. And, you know, 11 years later, here I am.
Wow, that's awesome. And you mentioned Rock and Austin as kind of the inspiration. Do you have a favorite wrestler, if you had to pick just one that, you know, was your guy?
I didn't for the longest time until I'd probably say a few years ago. And ring-wise, Benoit was always my favorite. I didn't, yeah. No one could touch him. Yeah. The way he moved in the ring and wrestled, and just the matches he put on, he could wrestle anybody, and it was, he was the type of guy that would, he was a workhorse, you know?
Yeah.
But he would elevate those around him. All around, though, it's Macho Man. His promos, yeah. His personality, the way he moves in the ring, his intensity, the fact that he can work, he can tell a story. Macho Man, to me, is my favorite wrestler of a long time.
Favorite Macho Man moment?
Yeah, I love Macho Man. I just love the Macho Man. He has a way he goes to everything. Everything was really in particular, you know. Yeah, I loved it, man. I still love Mach. To me, he can wrestle today and would still be awesome. You know?
Oh, yeah.
What, you know, you gave us a little Mach. What is your Hogan like?
You know, something, brother. I was thinking about the training and the players being changed. And usually, if I warm up a little bit, it's even better. But I can go on and on.
You know, growing up as a kid like that and having wrestling influence, were you also influenced by comic books?
I was. The funny thing was, though, as a kid, I didn't get into comics until I was like a teenager. Everything for me was like G.I. Joe figures and Star Wars.
Yeah,
I was always taking apart G.I. Joe's. In turning, I would take all the muscle parts and put them together. Like, okay, this guy has big arms. Let me take his arms off and put them on this guy's body who has a big body. And then I would make wrestlers out of them. And I would make custom wrestlers. And I'd have this notebook. And I'd create pay-per-views. And I'd have their win-loss records down. So I'd create my own little wrestlers and my own set as a kid. I got into comic books later on. I think I was like 11, 12. And started off with Punisher, and I got into X-Men really big, and then Batman, the darker Batman story. So, yeah, I've always loved comics, but before that, it was always cartoons, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Star Wars was always huge for me. That was before comics, but yeah, I definitely had my run with comic books. And of course, now I still pick up a comic here and there if I want to read it, a graphic novel, if it's something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Are I just you, don't go to the comic book store like I used to with picking up my stack of stuff.
Yeah, are you a DC or a Marvel guy?
I was always a Marvel guy, but I still loved a lot of DC stuff.
Yeah.
I always liked Dark Horse at the time, too. I would love it when DC and Dark Horse would team up and they'd have, like, Batman versus Predator or Superman versus Alien. It's funny, too, because that show, The Boys, that was on Amazon. I don't know if you guys heard of that.
Yep.
It was a big show last year. I read all of those comics way before the show was even, you know, they even decided to do a show on it. And I forgot Dynamite did that, and it was Garth Ennis had did it. He had a really good run on The Punisher a while back. And I remember reading The Boys, and it was like, hypersexual, hyperviolent, and I was blown away by the storytelling. So I there's little things here and there that I'll grab. Lone Wolf and Cub, I used to try and get those. Blade of the Immortal, that was another Dark Horse thing. That was when manga started to get big over here in the States. There's, of course, a few manga that I would pick up here and there as well. And then when Shonen Jump, the Shonen Jump books came out over here in the States, I would pick those up. I used to work at a movie place, Suncoast Movies, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'd always get them in, and so I would just read those. That's how I got into, like, Naruto. It was, I read it there before it came. And then wow. At Comic-Con, they used to, you could always pick up bootleg stuff real easily. So I was always picking up, like, bootleg anime and trying to tell my friends about it. Like, oh, man, you got to watch this show called Naruto. It's really cool. And then, like, a year later, it comes out in the States. It was the same thing with, like, the Kung Fu movies. I was watching Tony Jaa flicks before wow. He was over here in the States. And it's just, I used to love that. I was at Comic-Con one time, and I saw these guys get raided by the MPAA. All of a sudden, you saw them run in. They arrested a bunch of people. So I'm like, Godzilla bootlegs and TV show series bootlegs. It was pretty crazy.
No way. So let me ask you, along those lines, the Mad Dragon, how did you come up with the nickname?
Kung Fu movies and Wu-Tang Clan.
There it is, yeah.
Saturday morning cartoons is one thing, Saturday morning wrestling is another, and then Saturday morning Kung Fu movies, my man. Old school Deadly Venom films, they all had cool names. Number 4, the Lizard. Number 5, the Toad. Kid with the Golden Arms, Mass Avengers. Like, man, what would be cool? And when I was in high school, I used to do, like, the EFED stuff, online.
Yeah.
And I was always my guy. It was the Mad Dragon. He was just, like a martial arts, striker. So, and I've always been into martial arts, too. I've done martial arts and all that stuff. So, but yeah, that's where Mad Dragon comes from. And then my move, which I never give the move names to people, but, like, all my moves are named after Kung Fu movies. Like, if I do the Rings of Saturn, it's called Golden Arms. If I do the sweep combo and they dunk the head kick and then I sweep them, that's movement number 4, that's Dragon awesome. Sweeps his pass, Dragon lifts his tail. That's from Return of the Dragon. He's beating those guys up in the alleyway. stuff like that. Dragon stomp off the top rope, and Bruce Lee just double stomp and take the 1 foot stomp and enter the dragon, stuff like that.
Enter the Dragon, best kung fu movie ever.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's amazing, man. Especially too, because how many times do you get to see a guy like Kareem do kung fu?
Yeah.
It's just fucking amazing.
Yeah, he was taught by Bruce, too. Bruce taught a whole bunch of, James Coburn, Steve McQueen. He was doing kung fu private lessons, getting paid big money back then with a lot of Hollywood stars.
Were you a fan of The Crow when it came out?
Yeah, I loved The Crow. And it was another comic book that I had read, another graphic novel. But I loved that. It was a shame what happened. Speaking of a shame, man, Kobe Bryant, what the hell?
Oh, man.
It's devastating, man.
Yeah, it was tough. I've been a huge Kobe fan for many years. And, he had traveled back and forth with a helicopter to games. And just to see it in like this is just, it's devastating.
It is. And then I guess another body was confirmed. I think it was a 13-year-old daughter or something.
Yeah, it was his daughter, Gianna.
That's so tragic, and who knows who else is on board. I'm sure we'll find out as the day goes on. But I had just posted before I got on with you guys, it's like, it didn't matter if you watched basketball. You knew who Kobe Bryant was.
Yeah,
he was one of those people that transcended his sport, and his work ethic and his success. You could relate to it. Even if you didn't watch basketball, you could relate to this guy that was always busting his ass to the gym, trying to rile up his teammates and just be the best that he could be. And that's an inspiration. And for someone like that touches millions of people worldwide, gets taken away from you. It sucks, like when our family members die or our friends die. But it does, because we knew them and we love them. But then when it sucks too when an inspiration like that gets taken from us. And then all we see all the other stuff that's happening, other people being on board. It's such a shame, man. It's a tragedy, and that one, wow, it's just insane. Crazy. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and the reach, like you were talking about, Twitter, two of the first posts that I saw under trending were from Funko Pop and from Nickelodeon. And I think that goes to what you were saying. It's like, you didn't even have to be a basketball fan. He went into the popular culture. So, you know, all those kids watching the Nickelodeon Awards over the years when he would, you know, show up, they knew who he was. And it's, when you lose people who are motivators too, I think that's a big problem, because there's only so many people that I think you can look up to and trust in what they're saying, in terms of they did it, they had this drive that was unbelievable. And if we could only find in our hearts like 10% of that, you know, we would feel successful. Because, you know, it's just, devastating.
It is absolutely mind-blowing. And stuff like that, it's still, like, you see all the things about it, you're like, no way, that's real. And that's what you're saying, like, when you inspire, I always say that about, like, and not to, I'll segue, I guess, back to professional wrestling, how I feel like guys that trend, like, The Rock, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, Macho Man, John Cena, I think Cena was the last. Yeah, maybe Brock Lesnar, but he's kind of a different case.
Yeah.
Those are guys that transcend professional wrestling. We don't have anybody like that right now in the world of professional wrestling. I don't know why that is. You know, I don't know the inner workings of, like, say, WWE, if they let people do what they want there, or they really keep them on a leash or whatever.
Right.
Well, we don't have those type of superstars. Somebody was asking me the other day, like, what do you think about professional wrestling nowadays? You're to watch my matches. I like to do a lot of, you know, cute spots and stuff like that. But to me, I think being the character and telling the story will always be the most important thing, because 30 years from now, you're still going to be talking about Hogan, Flair, Austin. You're still going to be talking about those guys, because those are the guys that transcend. It's like Kobe, you know what I mean? Even if you don't watch wrestling, you know who Steve Austin is.
Right.
You know who The Rock is. You know who John Cena is. You know who Ric Flair is. You know who these guys are, because they were larger than life and transcended professional wrestling.
And I think
that is missing
today.
And, that's what I want to be. I want to be one of those guys. A lot of guys can wrestle these awesome five-star matches. I love that stuff. I'm not crapping on it. I absolutely love it. But does it translate to millions of people that are watching it for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you got to find that perfect balance of being a household name and being larger in life, and also having that really good work ethic in the ring.
Well, I think, and you hit on too with The Rock and Cena. I think the real, like, factor that they have is they constantly, in this age of social media, are doing things that are geared towards kids who are in need of that inspiration.
Yeah.
And it's like that type of thing. And I think that's something, like, when I think of you in terms of your presence and, you know, how you are very relatable as a person, you know, anyone could walk up to you and talk to you. But you just kind of have that thing where I think that, if they give you the stick and they give you the platform, my God, you know, I think that you could be on that level. You know, I trained back at UPW in the early 2000s, and John Cena was there. Mm-hmm. And I saw his work ethic, and I've never seen anyone who was more focused on something. And to me, I see the same kind of thing in you, where you have a lot of focus going on with, you know, what you do and what you bring to the ring. And I just want to see, you know, people take, you know, advantage of what they have in you, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. That means a lot to me, because I do strive for that. Sometimes it's like, it's glowing, but it's a small group of people that do see it. They do recognize it. They recognize, like, there's something there with this dude, and I don't know how to get everyone to see that, right. You know? I don't like to be on social media a lot. I don't put, like, my none of my personal stuff on there. Like, my wife's like, why don't you ever post, like, pictures of us and the dogs and stuff on there? So I do that on my personal Facebook. I don't like to do it on, like, Twitter and Instagram. I just usually normally talk about movies or something, and then people are video games or anime, and then my wrestling. I don't like people knowing all about your life, and the next thing you know, you get weird messages and all this other weird stuff. And she's like, yeah, I don't care for any of that. But I do think that also hurts me, too, because a lot of people that are constantly on, you know what I mean, in this day and age, the way wrestling is, people like to be involved with you, and then they think they can relate to you even more because they know more about you. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so is great because of this. I'm really trying to get my talent alone to do that, and I think I need someone at Impact, and I don't know whoever it is, just need to be like, you know what, just give this dude the ball, and let's see what we'll do with it. But I don't know how to, I'm hoping that will happen sooner or later, but I don't know. You know, and I still have a lot to learn. And being there, I've learned so much, and I've grown being in the ring with such great wrestlers. Being, you know, groomed and talked to by guys like the OVE guys that he had with, Elgin, these guys that watch you. And when you step in the ring with guys like that, you're like, you think you're good. And then you get in the ring with guys like that, like even like TJP, you're like, holy shit, these guys are amazing. They're on a whole different level. And so that's what I aspire to be, and I always watch them and listen to them and pick their brains. But I do need someone to, you know what, like, okay, like you were saying, like, let's do something with him. Because I will, that's what I aspire to be, are like those guys that were larger than life. That's my goal, is to be that. And, you know, that's what I try to do, but hopefully it'll happen sooner or later. But I appreciate that, man. I really do.
You know, you just brought up a good point that made me think of something that has been talked about a little while back here, and that's what Jordan Grace brought up about social media and the blending between, you know, everyday life and your character. You know, do you find that portraying basically a heel, especially an ethnic heel, that sometimes you have to just kind of keep your personal life separate so that you don't catch that, you know, that racist crap and, you know, everything that the evil side of Twitter brings, that it's good to have, you know, a separation between your character and yourself?
Well, the funniest thing is, I'm from my character to who I am are totally two different things. Like, my mother was from England, and she was Indian, but she was also adopted.
Okay.
And then she came to the States, and my father is from Atlanta, and he's black. So I did not grow up with that traditional side, that traditional Indian side. I just grew up like a normal kid in the States.
Right.
You know what I mean? I have, like, as far as I always have to go to Gama and Shira and ask them stuff. Like certain things, because I really don't know the culture as well as I should. But that was because my mother never knew any of her actual family members.
Right.
You know, we had friends and close relatives, or I should say close friends that we considered family, and we would always celebrate stuff with them. But as far as if they were always over in England or Jamaica, or they had moved far, you know, they were never where we could just go. We could drive 10, 15 minutes to get to them, like my dad's family. And so that is different for me, playing that character and still trying to represent Indian culture in a positive way and also still be a shit heel at the same time, you know. So there's little things that I still learn here and there as well. But that's funny, too, because my personal life compared to that is totally different. You know what I mean? It's totally different. And it's just funny. So, and then I don't, and as a heel, too, I don't want to be, I mean, there are certain things I'll say on social media, like, for instance, I wrestled a gentleman by the name of Paco, and we had this, he was like a super underdog in Chicago, and he had won the belt in this huge match, and then the next month I came and I stole it away from him, and then we had it, and I cheated, you know, and all this stuff, and then we had this grudge match. On Friday, and it was one of my favorite matches, and I wanted to tweet, I would wrestle Paco anywhere, anytime, every show, this, that, and the other. But the heat there is so strong that I didn't. I just kind of tweeted something remotely close about how everyone should have known the income or the outcome, but Paco and I beat the shit out of each other pretty much. And that was as close as I would wanted to get was complimenting him. But, you know, but I enjoyed it, and I would wrestle him everywhere. But I didn't want to because the heat is so good there at AEW. It's like an old school heat where they hate my guts.
Yeah.
I love that. That's what I want. That's the type of stuff that I want. So I don't want to come on. I want to get with, like, Sam Callahan on Twitter just shitting all over people. That's the type of stuff I like. And that's because it's your heel. People, because everyone always wants to know the ins and outs of professional wrestling. And I think when you blur the lines and you keep them guessing to me, that's the best.
Yeah, and, you know, you're quite the talker on the mic, you know, as we've been talking about. What, if for somebody that's coming up in the business or just getting started out, what makes for a killer promo?
I think emotion.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean like emotional, you're just yelling and screaming, but I think emotion and believability. You have to believe in what you're saying and what you're doing, or else nobody else is. You also have to be comfortable talking in front of people. I cut a promo. I walk around the house cutting random ass promos every day. You know, just in case. I would cut promos about John Cena all the time, right? And then if I had a match with someone that was maybe his size and his, like, I guess, persona, kind of, I would translate that promo about so and such and such person.
Yeah.
And I just cut random ass promos all the time, thinking about, okay, what happens that impact at the next bit of the table? Who if they do this with me? So I'll kind of promo thinking about that. And then I always have just bullet points on my promos, and then it's just me going off the top of my head and trying to go. But a lot of times it's just emotion. Yeah. If you are emotional about it and you are believable, people are going to believe what you're saying. And I like to take some, like if I have a gripe about something, I, you know, in real life I will try to handle it like a professional. But on the microphone, I will either whine about it because no one wants to hear anybody whine about anything, or I will use it as truth. So the best supervillain is the one that makes sense, but he's an asshole about the way he goes about it.
Right.
Like Thanos. He's like, you know what? The world's too, this universe is too overpopulated. People are killing each other for food and all this other stuff. I'm going to do something and let chance take its place. I'm gonna snap my fingers and let chance sort it out.
Yeah.
Like, man, what an asshole. He's kind of right in a sense, but he's going about an asshole way of doing it. So it's like you're like, man, I want to hate his guts, but I agree with him on some things, but I gotta hate his guts because he's a dick about it. To me, that's what I would like to be. That's another way I translate. And as a babyface too, you don't want to be super corny.
Right.
John Cena, people can say what they want about him. I think he's one of the best promos because I remember watching him go out there. 80% of the crowd is booing him, and by the time he's done cutting his promo, it's like maybe 50% of the crowd is now booing him. And those things, you know, a big, good chunk of those people that were booing him are now cheering him because he cut such a believable, convincing promo and not corny babyface promo that, man, you're like, dude, he's real, man. I'm behind him now. You know what I mean? So just stuff like that. You can be different too. Look at Danhausen.
Yeah.
He's blowing up right now. I knew him when he just looked like some CM Punk lookalike, you know? That was the style he was going for.
Yeah.
He reinvented himself. And now he has Matt Hardy and Mick Foley singing his praises on Twitter. Like, that blows my mind. But he reinvented himself and he does something different and he does something that he's comfortable with. And it's just like him, but just like the weird side of him. And he's comfortable with it and he's constantly thinking of new things. You gotta think outside the box. You gotta be believable and you gotta believe in yourself when you're doing it. And you gotta be emotional.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of promos and walking around the house and, you know, kind of cutting random promos on whoever at that point, has your wife ever cut a promo on you? What's the worst thing you've done that brought out the side of the wife that made you go, oh shit, she just cut a fucking great promo on me?
Nothing is, if anything, there it's usually yelling and screaming because of something moronic or something. But normally, not to my knowledge, if it was while we were out having a good time or something and had it on, jump on a switch. Something to stutter on 316 one time, which I thought was hilarious. March 16th, which I thought, that's like, you know, my thing. I'm like, oh, what day is it? Oh, well, today it's a 316, that's your ass. You know? That was pretty funny.
And you spend quite a bit of time right now, even though you're signed to Impact Wrestling, doing independent shows, like you mentioned, AAW. How does it feel when you go back to those rabid crowds and you're picking up championships?
I like it. I just like wrestling, you know, and I think just going to indie shows, being able to work with different talent, up-and-coming talent, or guys that you see at other promotions that are blowing up and you get the chance to get in the rings with them. It's cool because it helps you get better. It helps you adapt. It helps you grow. It's just never ending. And it's weird because there's only really two promotions that I wrestle as Hakeem Zayn as. One, because I always wrestled there as Hakeem Zayn, so I didn't, you know, change my name. And then AEW wanted me to be something different. They wanted me to be the guy on TV. Because the guy on TV, and it's just, to be honest, until recently, it was just a face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was doing jobs over and over and over again. There was really nothing special happening there. Until recently, we started to get some steam, which has been really cool. But nobody wanted that guy. Nobody wants that guy on the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So say if myself and Ace Austin are both going to try and go on a show, and they're going to want Ace to be Ace because he's always been a main X Division guy.
Right.
So he kind of had no value because he was always just an Impact job guy for the longest time. And so when I went to AW, like, well, we'll do something different. And so better you be like, you just be Hakeem Zayn. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, and then I started doing other things there that was totally different than what I'm doing on TV. I also like to do that because it shows that I don't have to be what you see on TV. There's more to me than just that.
Right.
And so, but it's cool being able to play the different role. I love being having Shira as my heater on Impact. I think that's really cool. It's a really cool dynamic.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Raj. He's injured at the moment. He's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll be back and he'll recover soon. But I also love to have my boy Karim, one half of the Hustle and the Muscle, as my heater as well. It's a different experience, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
And I just love to go out there and be me. So, I like going on to indie shows. It's different. It's raw. And you can experiment with new things there as well.
Do you think that the experimenting, you know, as an actor, improv is like one of the most important things. Do you think that being able to get that chance in the, you know, indie scene and having a little bit of an established name to where people have seen you on TV, that it helps you, you know, just kind of maybe try different things that you wouldn't have tried, you know, at an Impact taping, because Impact is scripted, you know where you're going. This is, you know, you don't get as much leeway because of the fact that it's timed to TV. Whereas on an indie show, you can try a little different thing if you, you know, find someone in the crowd maybe that you want to play off of, or if you, you know, have some kind of idea of some kind of spot that you've never tried before to go back and forth with someone. Is that, you know, just kind of like the experiment lab for you?
Yeah, pretty much. I just bought, when we were down in Mexico, we went to MTV Wear, and I bought these sweet, shiny gold wrestling boots for only $60 American. And nice. I haven't worn boots. I had bought boots the first time I ever started wrestling, and they were too big. So I ended up selling them. So I've never worn actual wrestling boots. I always wore kick pads with the shooters, or I recently bought these MMA boxing boots that I was wearing as well. But I want to try wrestling boots. They're super shiny, they're nice, and makes me look a little bit taller on top of that. Wearing shooters makes me even shorter. But I don't want to go and wear them at a taping, because who knows how I'm going to walk in them. Who knows how I'm going to be able to jump in them. and run in them. So I want to make sure I can break new ground, you know, at any show with them. Same thing with a move or maybe a sequence or maybe a style of promo, maybe a catchphrase. All that stuff I try out there in the indies. And, you know, it's pretty forgiving at times. There's certain indies that I can go to and know I can be a little bit more, I guess, loose, to where if I mess that up or it doesn't come across as good, I'll still be upset with myself, but I know the crowd will shit on me as hard as you do at some indies, but I definitely don't want to do that on TV, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I love the fact that I can go try and do things on a show and then, like, okay, that worked, and then take it to TV a few weeks later.
You know, just thinking about your style and thinking about the current Impact champion being Tessa, would a match between you and her be something that would be, I see it as intriguing, because I think that your styles would mesh, and I think that's a great way to get the belt onto you. So I know that it's fantasy booking to the extreme, but do you see that, you know, that move into the kind of the intergender that's been going on would benefit you in terms of, you know, being able to possibly shed the traditionalist, you know, Indian image and more so, you know, be yourself and be a little more Americanized and just, you know, more of a rocker, an awesome, a badass, or, you know, a straight shooter. Could that be something that would, you know, break that way and help you get, you know, into that top spot?
It's hard to say, because I don't think, you know, just having a match with the champ is going to change that aspect of it. I mean, because my wrestling alone is just, it's still me wrestling out there no matter what.
Right.
I'm still doing the martial arts strikes and stuff like that. So I don't think a match with anybody big is going to change the way they view how they want to change me. I do think just having a good match with anybody that's in a top spot like that will set me apart. I really, and it's unfortunate he got injured, one of the people I want to work with most is Swan, Rich Swan. I know Swan and I could have, could tell a really good story in the ring, and it could also be an intriguing match. And I think that would be sweet. But of course, having a match with the champ would be cool too. Who doesn't want to do that, you know, and be able to have, I would like to not have a throwaway one, but I would like to actually have a good contest with back and forth, and I can go out there and show, like, hey, I can hang with anybody. So I would like that, but no, I don't think me having a match with the top guy is going to change the way it, I don't think it, like, you know what, let him do what he wants to do. It might lead to, let's give him more.
Right.
Which is always cool, because I don't mind. I love, you know, the fact that I get to represent India is freaking sweet.
Sure.
I just wish it was more in a way, kind of how, I just wish it was more like, I would like to be the mouthpiece more, I guess, so to speak, and where I'm the one, you know, talking all the mad nonsense, and then Shira is the one backing it up, and then Gama's the one overseeing it. That's my goal for it, but, you know, I can't, whatever they have in their plan.
Right.
You know, I can make my suggestions here and there, but it's ultimately it's where they want it to go and what they want to do with it, whether I agree with it or not. So, you know, hopefully they will, though. Like you said, like, hopefully they have a big match like that. They're going to be like, you know, let's give the heat a little bit more and let's do it. Because they know I can talk. They know that. They've seen the promo. So it's just up to them.
It would be kind of interesting if they took this time to take you and have the both of you basically turn heel on Gama. And then that would
That'd be cool too.
You know, and then that way you guys could break free of the kind of Svengali thing that he has over you guys, and now it's like, fuck this, we're throwing down. And then that sets up the comeback where you guys can have a feud, once he's over his injury. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. I won't lie, though. I love working with Gama.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think Gama's one of the coolest. Gama's so old school, and I just love listening to all of his stories, man. He has so many good stories back in the day in Calgary, going to South Africa, stuff like that. So cool, man. So cool. And he's such a worker, too, because I remember we went to Mexico, and they're like, hey, Gama, can you speak? Can you cut a phone in Spanish? And he walks up to us. He's like, ah, you know, I don't really speak a lot of Spanish. Lear cuts his full promo in Spanish. Has a crowd eating out of his hand. We're like, what the hell? Like, man, you can speak way more Spanish than anybody else here. You know, I'm like, just out there working. And then when I had a chance, I got to wrestle him in New York. And he's like, well, you know, I really don't do much anymore. Like, you know, can't do this, I can't do that. We get out there, he does the headlock into the hammerlock, spins into the hammerlock, right back into the headlock, and punches me in the mouth. And I literally start laughing in the ring because the crowd starts chanting, you still got it. And I'm looking at him in awe like, you son of a bitch, that was smooth as hell. And I just start laughing in the ring. I'm like, okay, you know, you got way more than what, you know, you let on. And he was so smooth with it, man. He was so fluid. So it was crazy. But I would love that. Yeah, I think it'd be cool. Like, we get tired of Gama stuff, and then I take Shira and kind of do our own thing, and Raj comes back, and then Raj brings in a partner, and then we feud with those guys. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think that would, again, that's why we like to give away these ideas for free.
Awesome. Just want to ask you, man, social media. What is your social media contact so everyone can keep up with you? And what other events you got coming up you want to promote?
Oh, Lord. So I'll be in your neck of the woods, February 7th and the 9th.
Gotcha.
Obviously, for some good Impact taping. As far as social media goes, at Hakeem Zane, HAKIMZANE. That's on my Twitter. Mm-hmm. Raju Zane 80 for my Instagram. And you can just look up Rohit Raju / Mad Dragon Hakeem Zane. You'll find my Facebook page there. Same thing with YouTube. I try to, any footage that I get, I try to put it on my YouTube page under matches and promos, whether it's from Impact, whether it's from regular indie shows. I'll be in Bay City, Michigan. Let me see here. I believe it's on February 15th or 16th. I'll be doing a show. Rhino's throwing a show on the 20th. I have AAW on the 21st. Then I will be doing this in February. And then 22nd, we'll be down in Kentucky for Impact. And the 23rd, we'll be back up for Sanctuary Pro out in Detroit. So that, you know, I try to keep busy. Glory Pro is coming up as well. What's Glory Pro? I don't watch Burst for Glory Pro. That's down in the St. Louis area, deep Illinois. A lot of good stuff coming up, though.
Yeah.
And then you will be, I think I saw that Impact is running a show on, is it Friday of WrestleMania weekend, I think it is, this year?
It's a TNA show. I don't know if I'm on that one or not. Okay. I will be down there regardless, trying to get some work. I'm trying to get work now, man. I mean, these promoters are hitting me back up. I have a Glory Pro show so far. I might be doing Ethan Page's Body Guy show if he can get me on there. We're trying to see. We have a little thing we're trying to work out. I want to do the whole Ravishing Rohit Raju thing down there, but I want to have like the airbrush tights with the entire day squad on there.
Oh my God.
And then cut the Rick Rude style promo. But I don't know if that's gonna, if I'm gonna be able to get on it or not, but that's what I'm trying to do. And I also hit up Monty. I'm trying to get Monty Brown to do the TNA show because Monty's also from Michigan up here. We live in the same city. So we don't go to the same gym anymore, so I haven't seen him, but I told him about it. I told him to hit up Scott DeMore. So I'm hoping, you know, Monty will work something out and get down there for the TNA show. Because if anyone watched old school TNA, Monty Brown has some of the best promos, man. The alpha male, the pound period, the smelling of the ropes. I mean, the dude is just phenomenal on the mic and had such a presence. And he's so big as a freaking house. Still huge.
Man, that's, I mean, that would, yeah, I know where I'm going if that's the case. That would be freaking phenomenal, man. In the final question, with all the travels that you do, what is your favorite thing when you finally get home and you're able to unwind? What is your favorite thing to do? Is it something with family? Is it just, you know, video games? Is it something that you have to kind of like take the edge of the road off?
Yeah, my wife and I like to go out a lot. We'll go out for local bars, just kind of hang out, get a few drinks, and just have a good time with friends. I love to be at home with my dogs. I have two little dogs right now. My two big ones passed away last year, unfortunately.
Oh, but
my two little ones, I love coming home to them. So that's freaking awesome. And yeah, video games. Winter, summertime, I don't play a lot of video games because I like to be outside.
Okay.
I love to be outside. And this summer is going to be sweet. I got her like a big inflatable hot tub for Christmas. So once it's spring, we're going to be setting that fucker up. And we'll be out there for the majority of from spring till probably fall just in the hot tub. But
nice.
Wintertime is when I play my video games the most. I've been playing, I went back to Witcher 3 because, and I have a PS4 as well. I went back to Witcher 3 because I watched the Netflix series. So I was like, you know what, I've never beat Witcher. I want to go back to that. I'm loving that right now. I finally beat Spider-Man, which was awesome. Jedi Fallen Order, which was sweet. I jumped back on Battlefront 2 with friends. Been playing that. But Witcher is my main one right now. I want to get the Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. I heard that was really good.
Yeah.
I never touched the new Call of Duty. I tried Fortnite. I just couldn't do it. I know people absolutely love it, and that's awesome. I couldn't do Fortnite. Overwatch, I was playing something else when that got really big. Fallout and I want to jump on Diablo 3 with him. He's been playing that, so I want to jump on that with him. I love Diablo 3. Can't wait for the new one.
Yeah.
And I know the Final Fantasy remake is coming out.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk's got pushed back, so, you know, that's good, though, because I don't have time to really play all these. But I want to take care of Witcher. But Witcher's one of those pick-up, put-down type games. Battlefront 2 is still a thing that I'm doing now. On the PC version, they put out some badass mods for like Rise of Skywalker stuff that look really cool, and plus like the Republic stuff.
Nice.
But Kakarot might be my next one. I heard good things, like I said, and then of course the remakes of Final Fantasy 7 I'll jump on.
Awesome, man.
Catching up with my shows, like any animes, you know, any wrestling, which I've been flanking on wrestling for a long time. But a lot of animes I'm watching, and then any TV shows that I like, I'll try to binge and keep up on those.
Favorite show right now?
Oof. Right now, I'm not really watching any sitcom stuff. What was I watching? I'm always watching Simpsons. Mandalorian was my thing for a while, and of course, Witcher.
Yeah.
I don't really do a lot of sitcoms anymore. I was watching The Conners, but I just kind of lost interest.
Yeah.
Just because I was a fan of Roseanne, the show back in the day. I don't know. My wife still watches it. Nothing really, man. Anime-wise, My Hero Academia, I'm caught up on that. Trying to get caught up on Hunter x Hunter. And then it was another anime that I recently watched. I don't know. Demon Slayer is good. I'm waiting for that to start back up. One Punch Season 2 was good. Ah, man. And there was another one I can't think of it. I don't know. I don't remember. But I know My Hero, I'm caught up with that right now. So I'm just letting that play out.
Nice.
Thank you for hanging out with us, man.
I appreciate you guys having me, man. I do this all day. I love shooting the shit about wrestling and all this stuff with people. So thanks for having me on, man.
Not a problem. Let me see if I nail this right this time. Rohit Raju.
Rohit Raju, that's it.
Boom! There we go.
The mocha skinned animal himself. God created all men equal, then he made me in a sequel, and of course his mother called him son because he shines like one.
Boom! I love it. All right, man. Thank you.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.